me finish this morning here. It is seen in this passage and throughout many other scriptures the extreme privilege and responsibility regarded to assume the role of recording God's inspired word. But we see also the highest level of piety and humility that is intimately acquainted with this task. In that regard, as we observe the responsibility that was taken and the reverence that was shown, it is of the highest admonishment to us as Christians to acknowledge the Word of God with the utmost consideration of our minds, the utmost care that is taken in how we handle it, and the utmost communication in how we declare it. God's Word deserves our excellence in its approach, in its proclamation, in its demonstration, if you will. Makes me think, for 12 years, prior to before coming here, I worked in a factory, and many of you know I've shared many stories from there, and worked in a factory, and I got to say that every day I worked there, I was working to get out of there, okay? That wasn't really a career choice for me. I had worked offline at a table in which we would put together or assemble different parts for particular items that we built. And it gave me the convenience then to memorize scripture while I worked at my table. One of the things that struck me one day as I was not memorizing but walking back to my table, and I looked underneath the table and there was a shelf underneath there, and there sat my lunchbox. And my coffee cup, by the way, coffee, that's prerequisite for a pastor. I sat at my coffee cup, and next to it was my Bible. And I looked at it for a moment there and stopped and thought, here is the greatest treasure in the world that has been ever given to man. And here it sits, underneath a little table. An item with the most riches and the most value that could ever be bestowed upon mankind. God spoke, and man wrote it down for us. And yet we see in the midst of it all, those that were working, and many of them honestly didn't work there because they loved working in a factory, but they're there to pursue the almighty dollar in it all. They're there to pursue some measure of tangible wealth or material possessions. And they would, for most, happily discard this little book in its pages over the green paper that we place in our pocketbooks and our wallets. And I stop and think about that for a moment and try and bring myself back into the right perspective, if you will, of what is most important to me. What do I value most in my life? Is it the things of this world? Is it the experiences? Is it the circumstances? Is it tangible wealth? Or is it the very presence of God in my life and His powerful Word dictating my life? Is it this great treasure that God has given us? Do we value the things of God? Do we marvel at how the process came to be? Folks, it's amazing to stop and think about not just the simple fact that God spoke to key individuals and they wrote it down, and it is in complete form, completely inerrant, infallible, that these are not the words of particular men, but these are the very words of our God. Do we value that above all other things? Because out of it are the issues of life. Out of it, folks, I can guarantee you, if you keep to this book, oh, what it will produce in and through you. Not just glory to God in the best form, not just a profound and beautiful witness of His great love, but a relationship with Him that is beyond anything else in this world. Can I tell you, as a Christian, not just as a pastor this morning, but as a Christian, how wonderful it is to be in the very center of God's will. How wonderful it is to open up His Word each day and to receive lessons and teaching and promise and hope amidst a hopeless world from Him. How wonderful it is that we have this treasure so easily at our disposal, and yet throughout the rest of the world, they are hungering to receive just one brief page of it all. As a matter of fact, as we look at this whole Bible distribution and assembling, There are over 6,000 different languages in our world today, and 400 of them have a copy of God's Word in their language. You take these copies of Scripture and you start to disperse them into different parts of this world. Dave will tell you there, people outside America are hungry for it. They're looking for it. They're yearning for it. Folks, we have to kind of flip the coin in all this as Christians, as children of God. We've set a precedent that we are more like the world in some ways than we should be. And that we need to start valuing more the things of God and His very Word than the things of this world. And to stand in awe of the process and how everything came to be. Over a period of 1,500, 1,600 years, God's Word was put together. Isn't it marveling that out of 40 different authors, we have a copy of God's Word that is completely infallible and inerrant? There are no contradictions. There are no errors at all within it. And it's been completely preserved. This itself is evident token that not only God has promised Himself to us, but it's an evident token of the very existence of God. And folks, I see no reason to pursue anything else above the service of my Lord in that regard. If God is alive, if God is in control, if He is real and He is working and He has given us His Word and His Word is authoritative, it's clear, it's concise, it's true, it's genuine, folks, it should behoove us then to follow it with the very essence of our being. I close this morning then. Listen to what Charles Spurgeon writes. There are times when solitude is better than society, and silence is wiser than speech. We should be better Christians if we were more alone, waiting upon God and gathering through meditation on His Word spiritual strength for labor in His service. We ought to muse upon the things of God because we thus get the real nutriment out of them. Isn't that so true? Why is it then that some Christians, although they hear many sermons, make but slow advances in the divine life? Because they neglect their closets and do not thoughtfully meditate on God's Word. They love the wheat, but they do not grind it. They would have the corn, but they will not go forth into the fields to gather it. The fruit hangs by the tree, but they will not pluck it. The water flows at their feet, but they will not stoop to drink it. He says, from such folly deliver us, O Lord. You know what? I'm not trying to condemn anybody here or anything this morning, but one thing that we do see in all of this, the marveling inception of the Word of God to man. And folks, as we look at this great gift that is given to us, we have the great gift of eternity through Jesus Christ and His shed blood, but we also have the gift of His divine Word given to us. And folks, it is not something that we should take lightly. It's not something that we should ignore, but that we should be about the things of God more earnestly than any other thing in this world. Because we will all stand before the Maker one day, and I'm not trying to scare anybody, but I'd rather stand before Him and hear Him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," than anything else. I want to see my Savior face to face. Oh, there will be failures and mistakes. You know, one of the most beautiful things, folks, not to scare you at all, here's some hope for you. Some Christians think that they're going to stand before God with all their punishment, all their sins, and we're going to see a great big TV screen and see all the bad stuff they did. Guess what? As I look at it, Christ died on the cross for our sins, and our sins are no longer present in His face, but they are far from Him as the east is to the west. And then we're not going to stand there and be punished for what we've done wrong, because that is already taken care of through the blood of Jesus Christ. Okay? God's not going to condemn us any further. But what He will see is the shed blood upon us, upon our lives, and say, "You are now pure and holy in my sight." What we're going to stand before God for is what we've done with this life for Him. How we've served Him. How we've devoted our lives to Him. How we've devoted our efforts and our energies to the authority of His Word over top of us. How we have desired to know Him as much as possible. Here this morning, Christians, the takeaway is this. God has given us a tremendous gift. It is the greatest treasure that has been ever given to mankind. And it deserves the utmost honor and dignity that we can give it. It deserves our full attention. It deserves our full focus. It deserves our full devotion to Him. Where are you at today with that, Christian? I want to encourage you in that regard. Set a precedent in your lives this week that I'm going to focus more on the things of God. I'm going to allow the very Word of God to permeate my very being more so in my life than what I have done before. Paul writes in Colossians there, in the beginning of that chapter there, he gives several admonitions. In the latter part of those admonitions, he writes this. He says, "Be therefore increasing in the knowledge of God." And the word knowledge there is that Greek word gnosis, in which we see sort of an academic aspect or an intelligent aspect. But mind you, there is behind all that a personal aspect involved with all this, because the word increasing there doesn't refer just exclusively to growing informatively in the knowledge of God, but rather acknowledging God more and more in our lives. It is the idea that we are recognizing God more and more, that we are giving over certain areas of our lives that we have held on to Him, and that we're increasing then as a result in the personal relationship with our God. When we surrender ourselves to Him, folks, it's never a loss. It's never a loss. We are always blessed to know Him more, to see Him use us more when we surrender more to Him. Let's be devoted to the cross. Let's be devoted to instilling our lives in this great treasure that has been given to us. And to marvel at the conception of all of this, to marvel at the process of all of this, and how it has come to be to us today. Folks, we have God's Word ever before us. We need nothing else but His Word and His Spirit to guide us. And we can never go wrong trusting Him and doing what's right. It doesn't promise that it'll be easy. Oh, the Christian life will not always be easy. We'd like to have that plateau and plain there to walk upon. But folks, it's always worth it. It's always worth it to serve the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. May we devote ourselves more to Him this week. Let's bow in a word of prayer. Father in heaven, Lord, I thank You so much for Your Word. Lord, that You would choose us, Your creation, to convey Your Word through is simply marveling. Lord, You could have used everything else. You could have just given it to us, and here it is, Lord. But the fact that You choose to use us even further demonstrates Your love and mercy and grace toward us, Lord. And Lord, we thank You that we have Your Word at our disposal each day, that we can go to it and we can find the nutrition that we need. We can find the lessons and the teachings and the principles and the promises that are in there to give us a sense of meaning and worth and direction and purpose in our lives. Our purpose does not exist in our homes, in our churches, Lord. Even it doesn't even exist in our jobs or any other types of vocation there or experiences. Our purpose exists in the very person of Christ, and that alone. And then that purpose, we see the outworkings through us as individuals. We see outworkings through us as families and as churches. You accomplishing Your purpose through us, Lord. Father, may we look at Your Word and gain a higher view of appreciation for it. Gain a higher level of devotion to it, to want to know it. As Paul wrote in Philippians there, I want to know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering. May we want to pursue You with excellence. Lord, You remind me as well in Your Word that as we see in Hebrews chapter 11, that You are a rewarder of those that diligently seek You. We can never go wrong seeking You and being directed by You, Lord. And may You get the glory in and through our lives. Lord, we thank You for this time. may you use your word to touch our hearts, we pray. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand with me this morning?